So why did you come out to the library, Golden Jubilee, tonight?
Well, we value our libraries, and for those of us who work in our small rural towns, we know how important these libraries are as centers of the community. So, as I was saying to the group, for literacy volunteers, for socialization, for escape, for meeting your neighbors, it's more than just a place for books. It's really our hub. It's a hub of the community.
And I'm guessing you've been to a lot of libraries over the years.
I have, and again, we grew up with libraries, and before the internet, books were our main vehicle of adventure and escape and learning, and so today, to this day, we love books. We love reading. We love coming to libraries. We love the feel of them. We love the sense of togetherness they bring. And they're great places.
And I guess Kara's lucky. I'm guessing that most of the libraries you've visited aren't quite as nice as this brand new facility.
No, we're very blessed here. And again, it's testimony to the efforts of the trustees and the community at large, the staff, to invest. And small rural towns are lucky to have a library at all. There are many that don't. And they try to compensate as best they can. But to have the library, keep it funded, keep it stocked, keep it in good repair, that takes a lot of effort. So to their credit, Cairo has a beautiful facility.
Can I ask you, switch to politics for a second?
Oh, geez.
How do you think the Republicans winning the Senate majority now is going to affect you guys in the Assembly?
What it does, and it's more than just us in the Assembly, it's really as a state. What it provides is some balance. Because for many years, we've had an imbalance, and when you think about the state we live in, we're dominated by our urban centers. So the city of New York, 9 million people out of roughly 19 million, and then you had Manchester, Buffalo, Albany, Binghamton, leaves our rural communities really in the shadow. So this will provide more balance. It'll give a stronger voice to upstate and rural.
Is it that much of a change? Because Cuomo was already with the IDC, and the Republicans had a virtual majority in the Senate last time.
Well, just and again, I'm not a big fan of politics, but I understand the mechanics. So the IDC and the coalition with the governor didn't guarantee that upstate and rural. All it did was
the IDC folks are all New York City.
Predominantly. And so what it did, it allowed the Senate Republicans to at least be at the table, rather than cast aside, because they didn't have a true majority. So in many ways, they were not the masters of their own fate. They had to work with the coalition. And actually, the coalition, the IDC, really dictated policy. The governor dictated policy. Now, with the Republican majority in this, I'm still working with the IDC, which I think is a good thing to do, because we want a broad base. We want people to voice their opinions, and that difference in culture is important to bring to the table. But it now gives them the strength, presumably, to be more strident in staking out positions that are of importance to our homes and families upstate.
And what legislation are you focusing on in this coming session?
Oh, my gosh. There's just so much. I would have to say it's more issue-specific rather than bill-specific. So from an issue standpoint, we still need to stabilize education. It's still in free fall. With Common Core, with the fiscal crisis schools have been going through, we still have to stabilize our schools. That's to be accomplished. From a practical standpoint, we have serious issues with our energy policy. And we see really energy issues occurring around us almost haphazardly, affecting homes and property, rights of ways, being
you're talking about the pipelines and the oil trains and the
power lines, yeah. Spiking prices in last winter with the polar vote. So our energy policy, in my opinion, is still very, very haphazard and destructive to homes, families, businesses just trying to survive. They don't know how they're going to manage. So that, to me, is a job undone, trying to provide a stable, financially stable energy policy in New York State that is sustainable. So that's critical. Job creation. That's perennial, but in New York City, exodus of people because they can't find meaningful employment.
The unemployment figures have been a little better lately.
A little better, but part of the challenge is when you look into the numbers more closely, you can be employed, but the question is at what level? And often we'll talk about unemployment, but we'll also talk about underemployment. So someone may be working two or three part-time jobs and be deemed employed, but how meaningful is that to them as an individual progressing with their life, or as importantly, putting bread on the table for their family? So there's more to be done to provide jobs and providing the workforce to go with it. So that's good news. The GlaxoSmithKline was hiring 200 people this summer. That's good news. We want companies like that to hire people. They're going to pay better generally across the river with the Hudson Valley Creamery. There's an agribusiness firm that's providing goat cheese and now buying stock from local farmers, or getting ready to buy stock from local farmers and creating new jobs. So those are things we want, where they're invested locally, where they provide training and give people a chance to maintain. And so that's key. In terms of other issues, we still have flood recovery. And that's not legislated, that's more dynamic. And a quarter of my calls are still flood recovery on the mountaintop in Greene County, in Ulster County, along the rivers in some cases. Much of my region is still struggling with that. So lots of critical issues. And my belief is I don't like being reactive. I like to move things forward. So I'd like to move programs and policy people up rather than just reacting to the world around us.
But I guess it'll be a little easier. There's some sort of state budget surplus, so maybe these things are going to be a little bit easier than they were, say, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, certainly the issue of the surplus, and that itself was a challenge up until last year, was dealing with recession pressures and determining how do you address important priorities without breaking the backs of taxpayers. And so fiscal restraint, consolidation or coordination of programs, all that's occurring. So in short, if we have a surplus, that's good news. Question is, what do we do with the surplus? Do we invest it in economic development? Do we rebuild our roads and bridges? Do we give?
I guess some of it's going to education.
Education.
After that,
back to things we talked about. Do we give some back to the taxpayers to provide them with relief? So surplus is good news. That means generating more revenue than the state spending. The hope is that the state doesn't say, oh boy, get out your table knives and forks and napkins. It's always a challenge. And I can tell you, when people come to Albany, when they hear of surplus, even in lean years, very few people come to Albany, very few interest groups come to Albany and ask for less. Very few ask for the same.
I don't think in any year they ask for less, right?
Yeah,
no matter if it's good times or bad
very
times.
So and with the recession, and I've seen some hints of this, there are many who feel that they need to make up for lost time. And my observation there is, these folks, we don't want to hurt you, but I don't see the ability for the state to make up for billions of dollars in prior years. The best we can do is stabilize, heal from our wounds, and move forward. But there will be, there's already been a sentiment voiced by many, oh boy, now we can go back and make up for where we lost. And everybody lost. People were employed, people were homeless. So everyone lost. We can't go back and make up for those lost years, but we can go back and try to make it better as we move forward.
I guess one final question. There's talk of raises for y'all. Are you in?
Yeah, my take on it is you know, when you take this job, you take it for what it pays. And many view this as a part-time job. Some truly address it part-time. Some folks, myself, address it full-time. To get back to your question, I've never stumped for raises. I'm not interested in it.
Would you vote for it if it came up?
I would vote against it, to be honest. And my belief is, you know, it's all voluntary. If you want to be in the position, you're in it. If you don't want to, if it doesn't pay enough, find something else. The long-term answer, in my opinion, though, is that they should do what they've done in Congress, where they have, it's tied to the rate of inflation or the consumer price index or something to that effect. And so they have a modest increase year to year, and it takes all the sensationalism out of it. This discussion is more like medical marijuana. People get enthralled by this, and so they go back 15 years, and oh, how dare they? You know, so it's an emotional thing. And my sense is, if you want to give people appropriate pay and be modest about it, tie it to some rate of inflation or consumer price index, and then all the emotions and hoopla of who's in office.
Would you want to do the same thing with the minimum wage?
Minimum wage, you could look at it that way. That would make sense because then you have
another issue
predictable.
That's...
Yeah, because what happens is you have these lags, 10, 15 years, and all this emotional capital and all people on both sides, it becomes a distraction. You know, we can adjust minimum wage to you. Then it becomes predictable. That makes sense, too. Then it takes all that.
Sometimes, when you can work on other things that you need to work on, right?
Because sometimes it makes me wonder, do people who like the political battles, do they like doing to gain notoriety, to just for excitement? It makes me wonder. You know, same thing on the medical marijuana piece. I voted for it this year predominantly because I felt that there's regulations and a structure. Let a doctor prescribe it, let a pharmacist dispense it, and all the mysticism, all the drama goes away. It becomes something practical that meets everyday needs and is controlled. So part of me wonders whether people like the excitement and the drama of minimum wage, lump sum increases, pay for legislators, medical marijuana, excitement and mm-hmm. fodder for the blogs.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you for giving us some fodder for our blog.
No problem. Good to see you.
All right. Thanks.
Take care. Yep.